Oh, merciful God, we truly thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for every opportunity, Lord, that you have blessed us, how you stretch out in us. And we thank you, Lord, how you have blessed our children, Lord, and how they perform, Lord. Excellent job, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the teachers, Lord, those that put in the work with our children, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor, First Lady, for everybody in this house, everybody that belonged to this house. Some may not be here today, but God, we ask in Jesus' name for your blessing. Reach out to those, Lord. Some may be sick. Some may be in situations and things they want to be better. But God, we ask in Jesus' name for your blessing. Bless them, Lord. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go back and get into James. Amen. James, a powerful book. Amen. I'm telling you, and it's been a blessing. And I have the privilege of bringing the James chapter 1, starting with verse 9, and through, I think, 11 or 12. It's one of them, 11 or 12. 11, okay, all right, okay. I was trying to get in an extra one. Amen, amen. Here in verse 9, it says here that, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fails off. And the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuit will fade away. I had 12 minutes, and I'm going to just read this too. Blessed is the man who persevere under trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to those who love him. Amen, amen. James, I tell you, as I was studying, it just brought back memories. And James wasn't always a believer. Amen? And so it's amazing how when something about when folk meet Jesus, things happen. Amen? I don't know. Maybe I have somebody out there that maybe met Jesus. Maybe somebody that had that encounter with Jesus. I have any witness out there, amen. I know I have. Amen. 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 So here in John, Gospel of John 7, it said that almost in verse 5, it said, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Even his brothers did not believe in him. And I went on and I read in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, 4, and this is what Paul had to say. Paul said, after Jesus was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture, that he was seen by Cephas, Peter, then by the 12, and after seen by over 500 at once. Verse 7 says, after that he was seen by James first, then by all the apostles. And last but not least, Paul said, and I also, that he saw him also. Now, I don't know when James was converted, but I tell you, for Jesus to have a special visitation to James must have done something. Y'all don't understand. It's just you cannot be the same when Jesus come on the scene. When Jesus called your name, when he just come into your presence, things that may not be the way it should be, all of a sudden, things become the way that it should be. Amen? Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, and the topic that I chose today was that we must carry on the faith. Let me say that again. We must carry on the faith. James wrote to believers scattered, living outside and inside the land of Israel. It was back in AD 44 through 49. Many had drifted and settled throughout the region. Some split from the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. And many did not have any support of established, centralized organization of Christian church. Amen. But it's just something. One thing that I do know is this. When someone have an encounter with Jesus, they never the same. Zacchaeus, let me use him for an example. He was a tax collector. And soon when he met Jesus, that day, Jesus walking, looking up, he had no idea that Jesus was going to look up and told him, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. This day is your day. He never was the same. The woman at the well, never was the same. The woman caught in adultery, never the same. Saul, we know about Saul. Name was changed to Paul after his encounter with Jesus. It wasn't the same. The thief on the cross, his encounter with Jesus, never was the same. Never was the same. Things happen with people when they encounter Jesus. Amen. There is transformation, change of heart and mind, and a new perspective, and also new direction. One thing I know, that things isn't the same. So James begun this epistle. Now, if it was me, being Jesus' half-brother, I would have started out Larry Lester, the brother of Jesus. And I know right then and there, I will get everybody undivided attention. But James didn't do that. He didn't do that. James said, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about his brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. This the way he started out. So something in him from a non-believer began to turn and to turn this brother around. And as James wrote this epistle, James says, brethren. And some translators say, my brother, count it all joy. In other words, consider it joy. Knowing this, you got to know this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, come on, church. It's produce endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work. or result that you may be complete and developed in faith. Hallelujah. Lacking nothing. Now you got to understand what my topic says. We must carry on the faith. In order to carry on the faith, sometime we're going to go through some things. What is your faith if it hadn't been tested? Do you know you can do the test and can pass the test? Oh, hallelujah. This is what James was getting at. But he said, let him act in faith. No doubt, even a doubting person is like the wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind, and unstable in all his ways. And then when he did this, it seemed like he got to verse 9 and then he did a turn or something, maybe a quick left or something. Then James began to talk about, he said, about believers. But he used two categories, the poor and the rich. We are living in society that characterizes people on what they have. Amen? Amen? Do I have a church here? Amen. James wrote, let the brother in humble circumstances glory. In other words, let him give God praise now. Hallelujah. You can praise him now based on your position. A born again believer that have been made possible through Jesus Christ. True riches. Having an inheritance that the God said that he would do. An inheritance that never perish, spoil, nor fade. This inheritance, the gift of God, it's for not only me, but it's for you. In Romans 8:18, it says that I consider that the suffering at this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to just praise him and ask the Lord to Just a one-man band here. I don't know. Some of y'all might be still cold or something. You know, sometimes we do come in church sometimes and we like a little frozen turkeys. You know, it take a while to thaw out. But I'm going to tell you that the word of God, when you get around Jesus, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. Oh, praise this holy name. Oh, do you love him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And James said this, James said, what your troubles, the test, will be short-lived. You will have eternal, in other words, long life when you're being tested. This is what he said. Say, you will be exalted. People, at times, they will look down on you. But God will look up to you. Oh, praise his holy name. Says, you may not have a home on earth. But Jesus said, you got a mansion in heaven. Romans 8:37 says, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us when it come to the cross. And this is what James was trying to reveal and let us know. That the ground is level. There is no thing between the poor and the rich. The ground is level. The test is to show up your strength. I know a lot of people believe that the test is to what? Show up your weakness. But no. It's to show up your strength. To give you confidence. To allow you to understand. You must know this. Your life is like a marathon. It's not like a 40-yard dash, amen? Some things are going to take time. And you must understand a prayer delayed isn't a prayer denied. And something it is, the answer is no. And sometimes no means not yet, but it's on the way. Have you prayed a prayer? And then a lot of times we must understand, a lot of people don't really know how to pray. No, because they get on their knees, they ask the Lord or some simple something, and next thing you know, they get up, and they don't know how to tap into his presence. They don't know how to wait for it, to have to meditate on it, and allow the Lord. And see, I've truly believed, this is me, that if you have a personal relationship, that a lot of times in your prayer, you won't wait till something happen, when something come on the scene. But because of your consistent praying, consistent being in his presence, you'll be able to know exactly how to come to the Lord. And before you even get there, the Lord will know your prayer before you even mention it, because he knows you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what James is trying to remind us, the test is to show your strength, not your weakness. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, Paul says, "For I take pleasure in infirmity, weakness, with insult, with distress, persecution, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak," and y'all don't hear me, "when I'm weak, I'm strong." James says, listen, brother, listen to this. Has God not chose to poor in this world to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Has not God chose them, the poor, the rich, all on the same level in Christ? But the poor man, he should be glorified. He should boast in the Lord simply because Jesus identified more with the poor man. All right, come on, y'all. Having a place, no place. And this is what he said in Matthew 8:20. He said, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, no place to lay his head. And you, when you read your Bibles, you can understand that when Jesus was here on earth, Jesus didn't even have a place that Mary couldn't go where she could have a room for his birth. The animals made room. They shared their hay. Swaddling clothes was available. Oh, come on, y'all. Jesus, when he preached, he didn't have his own boat. He had to borrow somebody else's boat. It didn't stop there. When he died, he didn't have his tomb. He had to borrow somebody's tomb. So he identified with the poor man. This is what he does. So this is what James said. James said, shout, boost, celebrate, because he's more with you than he is with the rich man. Hallelujah. And Romans 2:11 says here, remind us that there is no favoritism in God. Hallelujah. One person is no more important than the other. Hallelujah. But now he says to the rich man, he told the rich man, he said, you glory in your humiliation. In other words, you need to bring it down, turn it down. Because the poor exalted, he's elevated. But when it comes to the rich, and when he goes through crowds, James says, rejoice. Because God also is dealing with you. Realize that genuine happiness and contentment depends on the true riches that is in God. God's grace, not earthly wealth. Do y'all hear what I'm saying here? the riches, his wealth, the very thing that keeps him in bondage, the very thing that makes him inadequate when it comes to the kingdom of God. That's why in James says that as the flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner as the sun rises and the burning heat, at which withered the grass, its flower fails, its beauty disappeared, perished, so the rich man will fade away in his pursuit. Now underline in your mind, in his pursuit. Because what you pursue is what you practice. Consciously become a part of what you are. What you do over and over again becomes you. Pursuing something repeatedly will influence your thinking and lead to a personal transformation and alignment of your heart, whether it's good or bad. The way we live our lives is shaped by what we choose to pursue. Do y'all hear me? Do y'all hear me out there? Hallelujah. A man without a vision will always live in the past. Let me say that again. A man without a vision will always live in the past. Why? Because he has nothing to pursue. What you chase after, reveal your value. Whether it's wealth, power, whatever, it shapes your decision and dominates your thinking and controls your thought. After all, the Bible says, hallelujah, that in Proverbs 23:7, that as a man thinketh, as a man thinketh in his heart, so what? So is he. So what James is trying to get us to understand, so the things that are permanent are in the Lord, and things that are perishable is in this world. Now I see how y'all looking at me. You remember reading about the rich man? Matter of fact, the Bible said the rich young ruler, how he came to Jesus and he was searching for eternal life. But this is the question he gave to Jesus. He asked Jesus, he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus reminded him about the law. He said, all these things I'm done. And Jesus then questioned him about that. Well, Jesus said, well, and that's the case. Well, you go and sell everything you have and you come on with me. Come on with me. Yeah, you give it to the poor. But something happened. The Bible say, the rich young ruler, that he went away sorrowful because he had such great possession. The lesson that Jesus was trying to show this young man is this. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You cannot love one without hating the other. And unless, hallelujah, you rich young ruler, if you want me to manage your life, oh, praise his holy name, you have to come unto me. You got to sell out whatever it is, sell out. Whatever is most valuable to you, sell out and come to me. This is what he was saying to the young man. Sell out because you ain't going to serve God and man. And I even remember back, some of y'all read your Bible? When that lawyer came and the lawyer asked for the same thing, eternal life. And then after Jesus told him about the laws and everything, and he said himself that he knew all those things. And then Jesus had to take him to the test. Jesus gave a parable about what? The Good Samaritan. And after Jesus gave that parable, you know what he said? He said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And in that lesson, he learned this. He learned there was three neighbors. The one that would beat you up. The one that would pass you up. And the one that would lift you up. Now you choose. You choose. Who you going to serve? You going to serve the one that beat you up? Or the one that going to pass you up? Or you going to serve the God I serve that going to lift you up? Whatever it is, whatever you going through, he going to lift you up. He going to make it better for you. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Glory. In your faith, James said, exulting, having the mindset of rejoicing. He said, Boos, rejoice in your position in Christ. Being poor or rich do not determine one's value in this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Some people says, no, the money is the root to all evil. I just want to remind y'all something. If y'all come in here and pay y'all tithes and want to give us a donation, I'm sure pastor ain't going to say, you take that evil stuff away out of here. He ain't going to say that. Why? Because he knows this. That it's the, in 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, this, it says, for the love of money is the root to all kinds of evil. The love. See, money is not immoral, but it's amoral. Meaning it's not right or wrong, but it's how you use it. You know, if you in pursuit excessive of it, or desire it more than you desire him. Now, that's a problem. That's a problem. You got a problem. You got a problem. The love of money. Because if you bring in here, we're going to be more thankful and tell you, yeah, we're going to use it in the right way. We ain't going to use it no evil thing. We're going to do it right. We're going to do you right. Amen. Amen. But you must understand that what Jesus was trying to get across, prioritizing money over all other value. Believers are to recognize the true riches in Christ, which surpasses any material wealth. James challenged them, to shift their perspective. Hallelujah. From worldly measure of success to spiritual realities. Trials is an opportunity for growth and deep reliance on God. Do I need to read that again? Trials, going through. It's an opportunity. Sometimes that God, and you know, I mean, let me pause here. I know it worked for me. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. If I hadn't went through anything, I would have still been out there. Can we be honest? Can we talk for a minute? If I hadn't went through anything, I would have been right out there. But it's through going through. It's through going through that it got my attention. To where? I realized that God trying to take me somewhere. He trying to meet me somewhere. See, one thing you must understand with God, he'll meet you where yet. He'll meet you where yet. See, when we came in into the Lord, when we accepted the Lord, it ain't that we were saved. It ain't that we had it together, but no, he met us where we was at, wherever you at. You read about the one with the issue of blood. He met her right there with an issue of blood. He was going to Jairus' house. He was going to meet Jairus right there at his house. But I remember reading about this centurion, how he came on and he said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. Speak the word. Do you have a faith that you can just say, Lord, just speak the word. I know my servant shall live. Oh, I know that my relative will come out of the hospital. I know my child, hallelujah, gonna come out of this. I know that my children, the ones that may be locked up, incarcerated, gonna come out of this. Oh, God, just speak the word. Speak the word. You don't have to go down there. You don't have to make a phone call, but as I pray, I trust and believe in you. Just speak. Hallelujah. Speak the word. Speak, Lord Jesus. Speak the word. Oh, praise his holy name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because what he's doing, it's like the practice of trusting God, guidance, the power, and accepting that God has control over our lives. See, everybody can say, well, yeah, I trust the Lord, I know the Lord, but is he your Lord? Have you made him your Lord? Relying on God is not a matter of mental willpower. It's a lifestyle in Christ. Shift our daily focus. It's involved mind, body, and soul. So when we find strength in God, we are not simply sending out a request to a distant God or a distant deity who can solve our problems or make us feel better or feel stronger. No. It's through faith in Christ we can know God personally, and through his spirit, God himself empowers. He's empowered and encouraged us. He knows us intimately, and he emphasizes. And what we must understand is this. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. When we are going through, he's faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God won't put more on us than we can handle. God will not put more on us than we can handle. Okay. All right. Maybe that didn't work. See something else. Okay. You remember when Peter them was in the boat, when the storm was raging, and he saw a figure walking on water. And as it was getting closer, Peter was just paying attention. What is this? What is this? Then all of a sudden, he realized that it's Jesus. Now, others saw Jesus. But it's something about Peter with his relationship that Peter said, if it's you, Jesus, bid me to come out to you. That's what he said, to you. What did Jesus say? Come. If you got that kind of faith, come. This is what he said. Come. Peter. boat. Peter stood on water. Peter began to walk towards Jesus. And every step that Peter made, the wind got stronger. And all of a sudden, the wave began to toss. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was the folks in the boat. Peter, you know you ain't supposed to be out there. Peter, you know you can't walk on water. What's wrong with you, Peter? And all of a sudden, it began to penetrate. And the next thing you know, faith began. The buoyancy that he had in his faith began to leave. And he began to sink. He began to sink. And Jesus had to reach out. But folks, he stood on water. He stood on water. Do we have any water walkers in here? Do we have any water to do everything God got to come and show you, put your hand on you, let you see it, let you smell it? I just have to be in your presence in order for you to believe. Do we have water walkers in here? Or your situation is that what you're going through? If Jesus say you're going to come through it, it's going to be all right. Do you believe it? Whatever sickness, whatever the doctors say, that I don't know, it might be cancer, it might be this. Do we have any water walkers in the house that step out on faith, begin to walk, to come to Jesus, believing? Because what James was trying to tell us, that as you, and see, this is what James kept saying. He's saying, works, you know, he say, faith without works is dead. What is dead, faith is worse than no faith. This is what he was talking about. That it must produce. It got to be visible. And so what the Bible is trying to tell us, saints, oh, praise his holy name, that we must be water walkers. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our present help. Our counselor, our comforter. He's our companion. He's our advocate. You are not alone. And this is what James is trying to tell us. Hallelujah. You remember Abraham? He did not waver on the promises of God, but he was strengthened in faith. Strengthened in faith. Giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded. Fully that what he promised, he will perform. We must learn how to react under pressure, because how will we know, hallelujah, that we can stand the test? Oh, praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Somebody said this. Helen Keller, I thought, said this. Character cannot be developed in easy and quiet moments. Only through experience of trials and suffering can the soul be strengthened. Strengthened, inspired, success. Achieve. Your success and happiness lies in you. Resolve to keep you happy. Your joy, you shall form an invincible host in difficulties. And then she says something that just blew my mind. She says, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision. Can you imagine that? Having eyes to see and no vision. George Washington Carver says this. He says this, and I love this quote. And being that this is the Black History Month, he says that no individual have the right to come into this world and go out of it without leaving something behind that legitimate, distinct, the reason why he passed through it in the first place. That's powerful. That's powerful. See, James was practical. He watched his brother. He heard people talking about his brother, how he lived. He saw things he saw prayer can do. Sickness, healing the sick, raising the dead. Heard about walking on water. When we take our faith and it become practical faith, it is, do y'all hear me? It is an application of faith in our everyday life. Putting belief into action. Living our faith in a way that transforms our lives daily. God is our refuge. He's our very present help in the times. Oh, come on, somebody. In the time of trouble. I hope that this message touch you, and I pray, hallelujah, that you can become a water walker and allow God to show up in you. Thank you. Amen. I turn over to you. Pastor.